Okay, imagine this. Trying to pull in an extra $100,000 in just 6 months.
Right.
And you've got less than 5 grand to start, maybe only 10 hours a week free.
That sounds pretty ambitious.
Exactly. I mean, for most people, that sounds like pure fantasy, right? Something
Yeah.
you'd only get chasing, I don't know, meme stocks or some crypto fad. Risky stuff.
Yeah, definitely not the usual path.
Well, today's deep dive, we're actually digging into exactly that challenge. We're looking at a roundtable discussion for financial experts from Wealth Without Wall Street, and each one laid out their own unique, often pretty unconventional strategy to hit that very goal. Seemingly impossible, but maybe not.
So the goal here isn't just reporting, it's
Our mission, yeah, is to really pull out the key nuggets, the core insights from what they shared, give you a shortcut, really, to understanding these, frankly, surprising
And
approaches.
that really gets to the heart of it, doesn't it? The
Yeah.
philosophy behind this whole thing. It's about moving beyond, the traditional Wall Street playbook. Building real financial freedom, maybe some passive income that lasts. Which you're going to hear, these aren't like lucky breaks, no GameStop windfalls here.
No Dogecoin fortunes.
Exactly. These are meant to be practical, actionable strategies based on experience and, this is key, building systems.
Systems, okay.
Yeah, so this whole deep dive, it really circles around one central question. How can you hit significant financial goals using high-leverage strategies, but focusing on like sustainable systems, not just one-off tricks or hacks?
Gotcha.
So you get multiple perspectives, different angles. It'll hopefully spark some, real aha moments for you listening.
All right, let's jump in. First strategy. Russ Morgan calls it the Augusta play.
Ah, yes, Russ's approach.
And he makes this, well, pretty bold claim right up front, $100,000, 6 months, less than $5,000 seed money, 10 hours a week. And here's the kicker. All income tax-free.
Okay, tax-free always gets attention. So the core idea, it leverages something called the Augusta Rule. It's actually part of the tax code, Section 280A.
The Augusta rule, like the golf tournament.
Exactly. That's where the name comes from. Basically, it lets homeowners rent out their main home for up to 14 days a year.
14 days, okay.
And the income you make from that rent, not taxable. Zero income tax.
Wow. Okay, so how does Russ actually do it? 14 days isn't a lot to make 100 grand.
Well, his plan is pretty ingenious, really. He schedules five tax strategy events over the 6 months, hosts them at his lake house.
At his house, okay.
Yep. And he's targeting high-level entrepreneurs, people
Wow.
making over $1 million a year.
Got it. So serious players.
Right. Each event is 48 hours long, which, conveniently covers 3 calendar days.
Yeah.
And he rents the house out for, get this, $7,200 per day.
7,200 a day for his house.
Per day. But here's the twist. To stay under that 14-day tax-free limit, five events, 3 days each. That's 15 days.
Right, that's one day too many.
So the 15th day, he just gives it for free. That's how he stays compliant.
Clever. Very clever. But wait, how does he make sure these high net worth folks actually pay that much? I mean, is it just a nice lake house or?
Yeah.
That's where the real leverage comes in. It's not just renting a nice house. He partners with what's called a family office.
A family office, like wealth managers for the super rich.
Exactly. And they specialize in tax strategy. So they
Yes.
provide the actual high-value content for the attendees.
Huh.
It makes the event a strategic investment for these entrepreneurs, not just a getaway.
Ah, okay. So the house is the venue, but the value is the content.
Precisely. He turns his personal liability, the house his family uses anyway, into a business income stream. And it's backed by a credible partner delivering the goods. It's a high-impact tax incentive, not just a rental.
Makes sense. So that initial $5,000 budget,
Yeah.
how does that break down?
Okay, he laid it out. $1,500 goes to a marketing team. They do about 30 emails. He figured maybe $50 an hour.
Okay.
Then $1,000 for an admin team to handle logistics, scheduling, coordinating.
Right.
Another $1,000 he earmarked for personal gas. And he specifically mentioned like expensive boat gas at the lake, like $5.50 a gallon.
Ah, okay. Got to factor that in.
Apparently.
Yeah.
And the last $1,000 is for making some promo videos and running paid ads just to reach people outside their immediate network.
Got it. So pretty lean budget and the time commitment, those are 48-hour events.
Yeah, but Russ claims his active management time is maximum 20 hours over the whole 6 months.
20 hours total for five
No,
events.
it'll. He says it's spread out, coordinating with the teams, quick review of the content, some follow-up after. He's really leveraging those partnerships and the existing asset, the house, to keep his own time input super low.
Incredible. really shows the power of leverage.
And highlights how the system kind of pays for itself, or pays for his liability, as he puts it.
Yeah, someone else paying for my liabilities, love that. It's brilliant, really, using what you already have.
Absolutely.
Okay, but what if you don't have a fancy lake house? Our next expert, Mark Podolsky, offers something totally different. Land flipping.
The land geek. Yeah, completely different terrain, literally.
His goal is the same, though. $5,000 into $100K, 6 months, 10 hours a week. And initially, he stresses it's all about focus and creativity. No team, no fancy software needed right away.
Right. Mark's whole principle is about finding asymmetric returns. Basically, situations where the potential upside massively outweighs the downside risk.
And he finds that in land.
He argues that land is an inefficient market. He's been doing this for, 24 years? So he knows where to look, how to find deals others miss.
Okay, so how does he structure it? He has phases, right?
Yeah, a clear step-by-step.
Yeah.
Month one, he says about 5 hours a week, focus on flipping really cheap land.
Cheap land? Like where?
Doesn't specify exactly, but wholesale lots. Buy two for $2,500 each. That's your $5,000 starting capital gone right there.
Okay, invested. Then what?
Then list them for sale, but on easy financing terms, like maybe $199 a month for 60 months. Makes it affordable for buyers.
Okay, owner financing.
Exactly. But here's the key step for his capital growth. He doesn't wait 60 months. He takes those notes to the payment streams and flips them to passive investors, usually at about 50 cents on the dollar, 50% of face value.
Sells the debt.
Right. So that initial $5,000 investment quickly turns into roughly $10,000 cash in his pocket within the first month.
Wow. Okay. Phase one complete. What's next?
Months two and three. Still about 5 hours a week. Systems are getting smoother, more copy-paste. He takes that $10,000 and scales up into better markets.
Better markets, meaning?
Like maybe Florida infill lots, properties with power nearby, more desirable stuff. Buys two lots for $5,000 each.
Okay.
Sells those for maybe $18,000 each, again on terms. Flips the notes, rinse and repeat. Buys three more lots with the proceeds. The goal here is to grow that $10,000 into about $36,000.
Okay, momentum building. Now, months four and five.
Now he shifts gears. Big cash flips. He takes about $6,000 of his capital and does a laser-focused mail campaign.
Sending letters to landowners?
Yep. Targeting specific types of landowners, maybe near growing metro areas. Sends out offers, say, $30,000 cash offers for their land.
Hoping someone bites who needs quick cash.
Exactly. Buys a property for $30,000, then quickly flips it for cash. Maybe $55,000 or $60,000.
A nice profit margin.
Definitely. He figures just two successful flips like that get him to the $100,000 target. And by this stage, he's leveraging help. VAs for the mailings, local realtors to handle the sales side. His time drops to maybe an hour a week on the land deals themselves.
But wait, land can be tricky, right? Like, hard to sell sometimes. What's the risk he's managing there? How vital is knowing it's not just swampland nobody wants?
Oh, absolutely critical.
Huh.
He stresses deep due diligence, understanding the local market, demand, zoning, access, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And targeting undeveloped land is part of the strategy. Fewer complications than buildings. The inefficient market bit comes from finding motivated sellers. People who inherited land or are behind on taxes just want out. That's how he gets the discounts that make the quick flips possible.
Got it. Due diligence is key.
Crucial. But Mark's plan doesn't stop at the $100K. He talks about ongoing system building stuff too.
Oh yeah. Like what?
He'd spend maybe 2 hours a week building and selling what he calls innate automations. These are like pre-built software workflows for the land business.
Automating tasks.
Yeah. Lead scraping, buyer follow-up emails, automatically posting listings online. He'd package these up as templates or maybe set them up for other land investors for a fee.
Okay. Creating another income stream from his process.
Exactly. Or even turning them into micro SaaS products, small, specific software solutions. Aiming for maybe $1,000 to $3,000 a month, recurring revenue from that, or even selling the whole automation business later for like a 4X or 5X multiple.
Interesting. Building assets beyond just flipping deals.
For sure. And then there's another hour a week he allocates to affiliate marketing and personal branding.
How so?
Making short videos, maybe TikToks or Reels, showing how he automates his business, talking about the tools he uses, and dropping affiliate links to those tools.
Smart. Monetizing the process itself.
Yep. So the whole 10 hours breaks down. Five for the core land investing, two for building automations, one for content and affiliates, maybe half an hour using AI tools, and half an hour for just high-level CEO thinking and strategy.
That's a packed 10 hours. And he mentioned proof of concept.
Yeah, he talked about one of his coaches, Eric Peterson, who did something similar with his son. Started with just a grand over a year, showed It works.
So the bigger picture for Mark isn't just the money.
No, he really emphasizes that this is about solving the time problem, too. Building systems that generate passive income exceeding your expenses. That's the ultimate goal. Freedom to work where, when, and with who you want.
Freedom. That's a powerful motivator. Okay, from flipping land, let's pivot again. Joey Muir's strategy, becoming the bank.
Joey's angle, using infinite banking.
Right. His aim, $100,000 profit. By lending out $200,000 short term over 6 months, again, the same constraints, $5,000 budget, 10 hours a week.
So the core idea here is leveraging the infinite banking concept, IBC. You store capital in specially designed whole life insurance policies. They grow tax deferred.
Okay, I've heard of this, but how does it help you lend money?
The key is you can borrow from the insurance company using your policy's cash value as collateral, and typically at a pretty low interest rate, say 5% APR.
Borrowing against your own policy.
Exactly. Now, that $5,000 budget Joey mentioned, that's only to cover the interest payments back to the insurance company on that $200,000 loan for the 6 months.
Wait, so the $5K isn't his lending capital. It's just the cost of borrowing the real capital.
Precisely. As Joey put it, I'm only using my $5,000 to pay the insurance company back for the use of their $200,000.
That's a huge clarification. But hang on, for someone just starting out, you need a policy with enough cash value to borrow $200 against, right? Doesn't that take significant upfront capital before you even start this strategy?
That's a really important point, yeah. Building up that cash value takes time and premium payments. This strategy likely assumes you've already established a well-funded IBC policy. It's not necessarily a day one move for someone with zero assets.
Okay, good context. So assuming you have the policy set up, Joey sees this through a specific lens.
Yeah, he talks about his investor DNA. He spent 11 years in the mortgage business, so he naturally thinks like a lender. He says it helps him see things in light of lending, spot good opportunities.
Makes sense. Play to your strengths. So how does he actually make the $100 profit lending that $200K? Where do the returns come from?
He outlines a few ways. First, charging upfront origination fees on the loans, maybe 1% to 5%, like points on a mortgage.
Okay, instant income.
Second, adding an equity kicker on flip deals. So if he lends money for someone to flip land or a house, he might take, say, 25% of the profit in addition to interest.
Ooh, upside potential.
Definitely. And third, just charging solid interest rates. He gave an example of a small $10,000 car loan he did that yielded over 200% return over 12 months, factoring in fees and structure.
Wow.
And he even pitched a hypothetical deal to Mark Podolsky during their discussion. Imagine Joey lends Mark $50K for a land flip.
Okay.
Joey charges a 5% origination fee, $2,500, 20% interest, and a 25% equity kicker. Mark's take was that probably 99% of land investors would jump on that deal because they aren't using their own cash.
Even with those terms?
Yeah. Because the projected returns on the flip itself were still really high, Mark estimated maybe 72% minimum yield for the borrower even after paying Joey.
So it's a win-win structured rep.
That's the idea. It highlights Joey's core leverage point. He who has the gold makes the rules. As the lender, you set terms that ensure profit and manage risk.
So that 10 hours a week, what's he doing?
He breaks it down into three main things. One, obviously, you got to have the infinite banking policy set up. That's foundational.
Right.
Two, he says, network like a fiend. Constantly meeting people, talking to people to uncover lending opportunities. He even suggests changing how you answer. What do you do? Just say, I'm an investor. Because, as he says, opportunities find cash.
Interesting identity shift.
And third is the actual work, due diligence and operations. Vetting the deal, checking the collateral, the borrower's track record, the timeline, making sure insurance is in place, maybe being listed as lost payee, monitoring progress.
Sounds like a lot up front for each deal.
He admits the initial setup and vetting takes time, but once the loan is out, it becomes more passive, just monitoring milestones until repayment.
And the scalability.
Huge potential. He sees it as a scalable and repeatable process that can continue on and on. He paints this picture of himself vacationing in Bormio, Italy, getting alerts that loan payments are hitting his account.
Nice vision. That's real financial freedom.
That's the dream, right?
Okay. Fascinating stuff. Now, for our final strategy, Sharon Shwasu takes a different tack entirely.
Yeah, Sharon's thinking is broader, maybe.
He challenges us to think beyond just making the $100K. His focus is building an industry media company. Why? So you build a lasting asset and, in his words, never have to do that again.
I like that philosophy. And he starts with some pretty strong statements like, unreasonable goal requires unreasonable effort. And this one, if you are not winning, it only means that you're playing by the rules. That's a direct challenge to conventional thinking, isn't it?
Definitely shakes things up. He also introduces this concept of five tradable assets. It's not just about money.
Right. What were they against?
Money, obviously. Relationships, leveraging your network. Effort, your time and work, converting into value. Skill, like Mark's land flipping expertise.
Yeah.
And finally, brand.
Brand. How does he define that?
As trusted distribution. Basically, your ability to command attention and influence because people trust you.
Okay, interesting framework. So how does that tie into a media company? What does he even mean by that?
He says a media company basically sells attention for free. Think about it. They act like a spotlight. They educate, provide info, entertain.
And then they direct that attention somewhere else.
Exactly. Towards relevant solutions, usually through commercial sponsors or affiliate links. He cites big examples like CNBC or Fox News, provide content, sell attention.
Got it. So how do you build one, starting small, without needing that $5K up front necessarily?
Okay, his strategy unfolds like this. Step one, identify an industry or even a specific company you trust within a niche you like. Crucially, they need to have good educational content and an affiliate program. He uses Mark Podolsky's Land Geek as an example again.
Okay, pick your horse.
Step two, become the reporter, the trusted source about that company or industry. You dive deep, consume all their content, blogs, podcasts, courses, whatever.
Learn everything.
Then you reteach it in your own voice, your own style. You tell stories, maybe case studies like the Eric Peterson example. Sharon emphasizes, your job is not to become the land geek. My job is to create a land investing media company.
Ah, so you're the curator, the storyteller, not necessarily the original guru.
Precisely. Step three is building goodwill and brand. You position yourself as this neutral, helpful source. Hey, I have nothing to sell you, just sharing what I'm learning, telling these stories.
Builds trust.
Builds trust, attracts followers, grows an email list. And when people get interested in the actual doing of it, you naturally direct them back to the original source, the company you chose.
Okay, I see the flow. But if you're not selling your own stuff at first, how do you actually make money? And how long does that take? That seems like a lot of upfront effort for delayed gratification.
It definitely is a longer game. The monetization initially is indirect. It comes from affiliate commissions when people sign up for the original company's programs through your links.
Okay, so the affiliate model.
Right. But also, as your brand grows, your network expands. Other players in that industry notice you, maybe promote you, because you're essentially promoting the whole niche. Opportunities arise.
And there's a side benefit too, right? For your own learning.
Huge one. Sharon calls it automating skill acquisition. By constantly teaching, explaining the subject, you learn it incredibly deeply yourself. Like he says, when you teach something, you get to learn it twice. You become an expert almost by default.
That's powerful. Learn by teaching.
So while the payoff might not be immediate cash like flipping, the long-term value compounds massively as your brand and expertise grow.
Makes sense. Are there examples of this working?
Absolutely. He points to Mark Podolsky himself. The Land Geek brand is a media company built around his books and podcasts. Russ and Joey's Wealth Without Wall Street, same thing, built by sharing their journey and educating on IBC.
Right, they didn't just do IBC, they built a platform around it.
Exactly, and Sharon shared his own experience. He apparently grew a real estate company's valuation from $200 million to $1 billion, an agent count from like 6,800 to 27,000 in just 2.5 years. How? Primarily by building an industry media company focused on educating agents.
Wow. That's serious scale.
So the long-term vision here isn't just a quick buck. It's building that lasting asset, the media company, which enables future income without constantly chasing the next deal. It's pure system building. Every dollar, every hour, every relationship you invest builds on itself.
Yeah, you can really see the common threads now looking back at all four. Even though the strategies are so different, Russ's house, Mark's land, Joey's lending, Sharon's media, they all fundamentally boil down to, well, unconventional thinking and leverage.
Leverage, yeah. Leverage of assets, relationships, skills, capital.
Exactly. They're all challenging the standard ways people think about making money, pushing you to look for hidden opportunities and, crucially, to build systems around them.
So for you listening, what's the big takeaway here? I mean, what really stands out is how every single one of these experts, in their own way, they're all focused on systems over just one-off hacks. Russ isn't just renting his house once, he's building a repeatable event system. Mark isn't just flipping land, he's building automation tools.
Joey isn't just making one loan. He's leveraging IBC for repeatable lending. Sharan isn't just making content. He's building a whole media platform.
Exactly. It's not about finding a deal. It's about building a machine that generates income and, maybe more importantly, freedom consistently over time. And it seems like providing real value, real education, is the magnet that pulls those opportunities in.
Which brings up a really important question for you, the listener. What's your investor DNA? Reflect on your own strengths, your experiences, what naturally clicks for you. Are you more of a lender like Joey, a hands-on flipper like Mark, an educator like Sharan, an asset maximizer like Russ? Aligning your strategy with who you are seems key.
That's a great point. So thinking about all this, no matter where you are right now, financially or otherwise, here's something to chew on. What lasting asset are you building? Something beyond just the next paycheck or a one-time gain. What are you creating that ensures you won't have to start from scratch again down the road? Really think about that difference between just deal hacking and truly system building in your own life.